It's good to be back. Welcome to Syracuse Radio, and the Syracuse Nation is with us. I love those words that we choose to put on the show description, the Syracuse Nation, part of the New Earth Nation. Hi, everyone. Welcome, and thank you for joining us. Today is the 14th of January, almost at the change of animals in the Chinese zodiac. So pay attention. And of course, we are 14 days after the big change. So I wonder what is going through everyone's system these days. We have a very deep show today, and we'll try to make things lighter and still touch those deep elements. We'll talk about addictions and addictive personalities, which I'm not sure if we ever talked about it, but if we did, then it'll be a different part, you know, time we kind of like experience more in those shows. Even if the topics repeat themselves, they are different from one another. So welcome to our friends here on the Blog Talk chat box. I see Brock and Roger and Tammy. Greetings, everyone. Greetings from Roger as well, I see. Jim was here, but I guess he kind of like disappeared in the chat box. So he'll be back. And of course... you were thrown off. Okay, that's happened. You know, it can happen. And Sue, I trust that Sue will join us later. I hope so anyway. And our friends from Dream Vision 7, hello to you too. Somewhere, whenever and wherever you are, you will listen to this show in the nearest future. And if in any time you would like to join us on live stream, look for us on Blog Talk Radio. We are Syracuse Radio. And if you want to share those shows, you can share it on the share button on Facebook, Twitter, or any kind of social media. And we would very, very much be honored if you will go to our website, www.sotem.org. We need your help. It takes a fair amount of people to create and build, like Jim and I talked about it in the past few days. And I guess we'll talk about it more and more. I mean, we have a lot of things coming up, but we won't share anything today because we like to keep things in some kind of secrecy until, you know, they are about to happen. But, you know, to be continued anyway. That was a little teaser. I'll bring Jim. Hi, Jim. What's up? Talk too much.
Yeah, I didn't know if you were going to stop.
Oh, come on.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. This is, or can be, a deep topic, but it doesn't have to be. So, like everything else we do, let's try to have, as we discuss this, which I think is an important topic now, because addictions and things blocking us have shown up a lot lately. So let's get into it deeply, but if we want to have fun with it, that's fine too. Good to see all the folks on the chat box and all the folks on the message board. We welcome you wherever you show up for the show. Hey, we never know how many people are here. Someone asked me this the other day. We honestly don't know how many people are with us, and I guess it doesn't really matter. We can see those on the chat box who decide to be visible and or decide to comment or ask questions, and I can see those on the message board the same way. But often the show's over and we find out there's been 100 people, 200 people, whatever, listening. That's really neat, and so we don't need to worry about it, but any of you listening who wish to participate more, you are always absolutely welcome. There is no right or wrong here. There are no foolish questions. There are no crazy comments. We're just here to all share our knowledge, put it together, and move ahead a little bit. And as Sharon said, we're going to be doing more of this stuff. And I don't want to give away too much of what we're doing, but we are working on potential conferences down the road, and we're working on some deeper sharings on the virtual realm. So, and that'll be coming very soon. And so I'm just putting the energy out there to get it started. Some of you have been asking for things, and we're going to try to respond. No, we are going to respond. So with that, I hope I didn't give it away too much, Sharon.
I'll see you later. That's all right.
Oh, okay. I see that Smokey is also listening via phone, so welcome to her. Please remember, yeah, we forget to say this sometimes, if you wish to come on air on the phone and share some words, questions, comments, whatever, please go to either the chat box or the message board, or you can get hold of us via Facebook and let us know that you wish to do that and just a quick idea of what you want to talk about, whether it's a question or a comment. In the past, we've had people, and we'd bring them on, and they didn't really want to be on, and so we embarrassed them. We don't want to do that. So just give us a heads up, and then you will be welcome to join us that way as well. So, let's see. Okay, some things are starting to be written. But before we get to that, and people have a little more time to write what they would like to hear, questions and comments, addictions and addictive personalities, they are different. And it's somebody who was asking when they saw the show posted a couple of days ago, aren't they the same thing? No, not really. They're part and parcel of addictive behavior. Addictions are things that we feel we have to have, sometimes physically, sometimes emotionally, sometimes mentally, sometimes spiritually. Addictive personality is a personality like mine. I'm the first to admit that I have this personality trait, that you can go overboard on anything you do. And so my teachers used to tell me that addictions and having an addictive personality were red flags telling you that something was out of balance. And so each time you felt addicted to something, you needed to look at your whole being. Each time that you were doing too much of something, whatever that might be, you needed to step back, slow down, and look at it. And in that way, you could use these things to your benefit. What happens all too often, though, is people keep rushing ahead and using the thing that they are addicted to, or allowing that addictive personality of theirs to control them, rather than be a heads up or a warning or a teaching piece. And believe me, I'm not judging anything here. I absolutely have the same problem. I've been addicted to many things over time. We can be addicted to a lot of things. For me, it was tobacco for a long time. Food is always an issue. And speed or action. I used to do things 24/7, never stop. That's also an addiction. Some addictions seem like they might be a positive thing, but they're not necessarily so. Although I would argue that there's times you can use them in that way. So that's my lead-in to this, to this show and what we're doing. Sharon, I'll pass it back to you.
Talking about addictions, I mean, I think it was necessary to bring this show today and talk about what is addiction. Pretty much the topics that we create are to bring some sort of awareness or deep, kind of like trigger you. Is, you know, doing those shows, they trigger us as well. I mean, after those shows, we talk about those shows and other things like that, and of course creating those shows, it's a different energy. So I think it was necessary to do this kind of show because it's so easy to miss it, because addiction sometimes it can be very comfortable because we prefer not to, you know, touch it or get close to it. But it's still within us. So we have to make sure that we'll get this awareness and And then things will start to heal. Not to be afraid of it. Addiction is not something that we need to be afraid of. But it is an indicator that something is off balance. We want something beyond what we can afford in some level, sometimes physically, emotionally, mentally, and stuff like that. And it always comes on something else expenses. That's the thing with balance. There is always, I wouldn't say a prize, but I just don't have the words to describe it. But there is a prize when you have an addiction, and of course the price will get higher if you won't pay attention to what your body is trying to tell you, or your system, an overall system. I see more people are joining us, like NEL, hello, and guest 1196, and of course Dale. It's been a while since you got here, so welcome back. It's great to see you. So addiction and addictive personalities are two different things, and I'm sure that Jim will share a little bit more than what he just shared as we will move forward. But there are a lot of types of addictions, but they're all connected physically. It's familiar, and it all comes from the brain. And there were some studies about that, and researches, and it's well known. But the psychological element of it is not something that many people know or they experience. Many people do experience it, but they're not aware of what's going on. Psychologically and, of course, spiritually, because every element right now has a spiritual element, every aspect. So, So, like we said, there are a lot of addictions, drugs, food, sex, anything that, sometimes we, in some point in our mind, in some place, we think of this as something good. And then the brain really starts to create a behavior of, defining good and bad, which is okay, but life is not always black or white or good or bad. There are things in between, but we'll talk about it more and more. I see Running Elk wrote something that shifted to Jim. So, hello, Running Elk. Thank you for being with us today. So he said, for years I felt this addiction to my spirit work. I spent all the day and night learning and practicing using what my elders gifted to me until finally I got my body very ill and had to stop and see myself. So even the things that we, that help us, that's supposed to help us, spiritual work, we cannot do it all the time. I mean, here's Running Elk telling his story that he got sick from doing this. If we push ourselves too much on doing something, even if we think it's the best thing in the world, it will contribute to all our aspects and of course to others, that can be very dangerous and very harmful from time to time. So in this example, Running Elk speak of working on his spiritual work, and in some point it got very very ill. So we have to make sure that we keep things in balance, but we'll talk about it more and more. Jim, anything from you about that?
Yes, we can absolutely be addicted to anything. And I hear you, Running Elk, because I did the same thing. for years and years, I was so totally engrossed with my spiritual learning and all the teachers I was getting things from that I pretty much ignored all the other aspects of my being. I'd lived to learn more and practice more of my spiritual work. And so, like you, I also got incredibly sick. That's what can happen when we go out of balance. And I actually got angry for a while with my teachers. And I wonder if this happened with you also, brother. I wonder why they didn't point out what I was doing. Even my primary teacher, Two Bears, he would say, Jim, you need to slow it down. You need to do some other things. And I kind of brushed him off, I guess. But no one ever really stopped me and said, wow, you're running a big risk here. And I think part of it is because I had to learn that myself. You know, there is that that teaching that some things we have to learn by ourselves, even if it's painful. And I've done that with folks, too. I wanted to tell them, and I even did tell them at times, hey, you're going to run into a wall if you keep doing this. And they needed to run into the wall to understand it. So that may be part of it. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. What seems like a totally positive thing, and it is if done in balance, our spiritual growth, our spiritual road, seeing what we need to do for the circle, can become, I don't know if we want to say a negative thing, but a dark thing. It can affect us in a way that is not good. And then we do need to stop, take a look, and start addressing it. And it's not easy. Addictions are not easy. Actually, I see that Susan from the message line. Now we have, just so we know, we've got Sue is now on the phone, and we have three Susans on the message board today. So, folks, if you want me to identify you with a last name or a letter, feel free. If not, that's okay, too. Apparently, we've got the Susans in the four directions today. Susan from the message board, and I think this is Susan who's been with us for a number of shows now. I'm not sure. I was addicted on alcohol for 7 years. Doctor told me my body craved it and my mind was not strong enough. Then my wisdom teacher helped me, now 8 years without. When I feel an urge to drink, I look at my balance, as you say. Ooh, there's a lot in there. Look what the doctors told her. Her body craved it, probably did. That's what happens to me, too, with a lot of different substances. But then was told her mind was not strong enough. I don't buy that. I think it's how we then access the different components of ourself. And we've talked about this in so many shows. Mind, body, spirit, emotions, sexuality, dreams, and the totality of our essence, the circle, the connection piece. If we look at all those pieces and start working on them, your mind is strong enough, especially when it's supported by some of the other pieces. And so Susan here kind of proves that. She heard them and then turned to, I'm not sure what a wisdom teacher is, forgive me, but I'm assuming it's an elder or a spiritual teacher of some sort. So she turned to a non-traditional way, I'm assuming, and then was able to stop. Stop that addictive behavior, and I'm fairly certain that means she came into more balance within herself. I'd love to hear if I hope I'm not overreading this, Susan, forgive me, but it's an excellent comment. Tammy's saying her mind is stronger, she'd not be doing without it for 8 years. Boy, you got that right. Absolutely. We're all much stronger than we think in all of those aspects. We tend to at times doubt ourselves, and that's not really an easy way to walk. So great comments. Keep it up, folks, because this is really an in-depth show today, and I'm glad people are not shying away from it. Sharon, to you, or do we bring in Sue now? She's been listening. She ought to be ready.
Yeah, let's bring
in
Sue.
Okay. Better dive.
Hi,
in.
Everyone.
Hi.
Boy, I tell you what, this is deep, too. Wow. Yeah, you know, when you think of addictions, you think of all the normal addictions type stuff, alcohol and cigarettes and things of that nature. But boy, it can really go deeper than that. And when I think back on myself, when I think about how my self-esteem was so low and I had such a low, attitude about myself and my world, I was attracting people into my life that were highly addictive to many, many traits, many things that were not healthy for me whatsoever. I'll name that codependent. And I'm sure, hopefully most of you know what that is all about. But it really, it was how I was looking at my world at that time and what I was needing in order to fulfill what I thought was my life, because I was looking to everyone else to fill that void that was within me, that I thought would make me complete. And boy, I was quite surprised when I realized finally what was going on and was able to start looking deeply within myself to heal, the wounds from my childhood and how things really affected me in the long term. So I'll pass the stick.
Yeah, and you see, there are a lot of addictions that that, because they're not on the media or stuff like that, doesn't mean that they're not part of the this box of addictions, of types of addictions. I'll tell you a little bit about my addiction, if I may. And it took me a while to understand that. I was addicted to help people. Now, I know it sounds a little bit corny, but that's what what happened with me was that I saw my potential of helping people, and I also, on the other side of that balance, I saw an opportunity to hide the things that I need to work on, those deep emotional, spiritual stuff that I needed to work on. And I kind of like, okay, I'll help people, and on the other, and while I'm doing that, I'll put aside my issues, and it's a win-win situation. And I'll tell you what, it torn me into two in many, many ways, until, it started mentally and emotionally and stuff like that. And the thing is that until I broke my knee 3 years ago, I didn't realize that, because when you have a broken knee and a torn ACL, you need to lie down and not moving. And that was the hardest thing for me, because I couldn't access a computer and I couldn't help people. And I needed to, just lie down and think about everything. So I was thinking about it, and then I found this amazing quote by Susanna Grant that she said, checking your ego, abandoning it, letting it go, it's a huge part of recovery from addiction. And then I realized that I wasn't addicted to ego, but it came from my ego. It definitely came from a place that I wasn't aware of, but that's the whole part of addiction. There are hidden things inside of us that we're not aware that can create this addiction. So we have to keep, the self-awareness on the active mode all the time to get in touch with ourselves and with our surroundings. So things like severe addictions that can cause a lot of damage, and some addictions can cause death, won't happen. Tough and sick in riddle.
Wow, there's a ton of great things coming up here. So,
yeah.
Let's see. Everybody's jumping in on this. Really great. And people are sharing deeply, which is also awesome. That is what this show is about. Sometimes it's not easy. I find myself sitting here nodding my head as all of you speak, because being an addictive personality, I've experienced a lot of what you all are talking about. Sharon well knows, you know, For a long time, I was addicted to helping others. And I was raised that way. I was told that was my job. As some of you know this, the oldest male of my generation in my Italian-American family, I was told it was my job to take care of everyone else and basically ignore myself. So that's a really valid addiction for folks. Again, it sounds like it's not a negative thing. And if it's in balance, of course it is not. But boy, it can go out of balance and cause you great pain and a lack of growth, for sure. Roger's saying he was addicted to, hydromorphocontin, I think. 96 milligrams twice daily for about 8 years due to severe back issues. 6 years ago, I told myself enough is enough and quit them cold turkey. It's only after I quit the morphine derivative that I learned to get a handle on the pain. Now I wonder if it wasn't perhaps the pain I was really addicted to. Yes. Boy, this is a rough one, too. We easily can get addicted to pain. Sometimes the monster you know is better than your monster you don't know. And we can get addicted to pain. I was taught and told by some alternative healers, but actually a couple Western medicine people as well, surprisingly enough, that chronic pain is partly just that. You get addicted to the pain. You are using that pain to stop a lot of things. One may be fear. As Rhonda says, fear can be an addiction. You bet. Fear can be a biggie, and that causes other things to occur. For me, when the chronic pain issues started, that was when my past wife, who passed away of cancer, was starting down her final journey, and I was not doing a good job of being able to face up to that. I was being a caregiver, but looking at the whole reality of it, I couldn't. And so I think I was welcoming in pain. Like Roger, I didn't get the morphine derivative, but I got Xanax, which completely hooked me. It took 2 years before I was able to begin getting off it. So, yeah, and that goes cycles back into the shows we've had on medicine and medicines and prescription drugs, and we won't go there again, but go to the archives and listen to some of those shows, and I think you'll find some fascinating stuff. So I commented on some of Roger's stuff there. Sharon, there's lots of other things, or Sue, who wants to take a, I guess Sue can't. She can't read them. Whoops. But she can comment.
I just wanted to comment on what Sharon was talking about, the ego and taking care of others. And, you know, I realized, too, by having very, very low self-esteem, and what I was doing was, you know, in a way, ego-based for myself, which wasn't, an addictive behavior, not being able to feeling less than others and not as important. So, you know, everybody else was better and stronger and smarter and wiser and, you know, on and on and on. So, I thought that was interesting, Sharon, you know, speaking of the ego and being caretakers, because that's pretty much what I, also being the oldest of two, you know, and being raised in a generation where you took care of, you know, the people around you, the men in your life and before yourself. And, it's just the list goes on and on and on. Stick in the middle.
I would like to read two parts, messages from two different people that I see here. One is from Sally and the other one is from Nell, and they are related. And I can very much relate to what both of them said. So welcome, Sally and Nell. I don't know if you are, I think Sally was with us before, but I'm not sure about Nell. Anyway, guys, welcome. It's very, very kind of like refreshing to see you guys here. So I'll start with Sally. Sally said, when I was younger, I was told that I was very attractive. I was very attractive and I needed to feel that. I spent great deals of time dressing and making up and being sexy to men. And men kept coming at me, which made me very angry. I could not find a nice man who would see more. And from Nell said I was addicted to my looks when I was younger. Everything had to be just right. I once broke a mirror when I was 14 because I never liked what I saw, because I felt no one would like me if I was not perfect in my makeup or mm-hmm. without it, I'm sorry. So the thing is, it's very interesting, because what both said are, you know, the thing is very, it's an eye-opening experience. I can tell you that for years, I didn't feel beautiful, but I felt sexy. And for, let's put the addiction aside for a moment. And it's different. Feel sexy and feel beautiful are two different things. And when you feel sexy, even if it is for, you know, it comes from addiction or not, and mostly it does, but there are sometimes it doesn't. Men or women, depends on your gender, obviously, can see and sense that, and then you'll become fantasy. I was a fantasy for a lot of men. And I got very, very angry with that, and that anger grew inside of me, and I totally lost any sense of logic and trust and surrender, and a lot of things that happened to me spiritually happened really, really twisted, and I won't get too deep into that. But the thing is that the addiction, when it comes to how people see us, the ones that hold any kind of addiction inside, they see us differently than what we feel inside, and what is going on inside of us. So there is a lack of balance between what we project outside and between what we are, what we feel inside. And that can cause a lot of stress, can cause a lot of fear, can cause a lot of insecurities, can cause a lot of anger, like Sally mentioned. So yeah, there's always, it has to be some kind of like balance in between what's going on inside our bodies and our minds, and spiritually, and on and on, and of course sexually, because it is important as the other elements. And on the other hand, we have to make sure that that people will see what is inside of us, and be really transparent, not like totally open with everyone that see you, all the guys on the street or on the girls, again, depends on your gender. So I think for me, and I'll pass the stick in a moment, until I've learned to accept that I accept my own beauty, whatever, you know, if with the physical beauty and the mental and spiritual and the emotional and on, that, you know, that just in some point, and it happened really quickly, in some point it started to project what I felt inside on the outside, and physically I have changed a lot. So make sure that you balance in between those two. But it's good that you're aware that that you wanted to feel sexy, but you didn't feel beautiful. Those are two different things, and I'm sure we'll do a show about that in some point. Maybe the girls would do a show about that. I don't know. So, yeah.
Wow. When I think back of myself and, you know, how I was raised, and There are so many little. I mean, there's little things too. I can't walk by a piece of paper in an office if it's crooked, you know, and it's on a square table. I mean, just constantly needing things, you know, to be straight and organized, and but, you know, I can't stand any kind of chaos, and when things get out of control, I feel very strongly that, you know, if your world around you is out of control, then, you know, there's stuff going on within you that's out of control also. So, you know, any kind of addiction. You know, one of the other ones that I really enjoy, and I know that, and I'm really happy and proud that we've got the four Sues and Susans out there all together here on this show. I think that's awesome. We're getting stronger by the day, and that's awesome. Anyway, chocolate. How many out there have an addiction to chocolate, especially just the dark, the nice dark chocolate? Oh, boy. You know, I can kind of deal without, you know, the sugary stuff, I mean, the cakes and the stuff, and I can go, you know, for a little while, but boy, that one little piece of chocolate, I think it's probably goes in hand with anybody who probably, you know, has to have that cigarette every day or, you know, that one drink. But anyway, I mean, there are some things in life that aren't too bad for you, and dark chocolate is not supposed to be that bad for you. So, anyway, any comments out there? Stick in the middle.
Oh, lots of them. Go ahead, Jim.
Go ahead.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm here. I was going to move on to other things. Do you have something to say on that?
No, that's pretty much it.
Chocolate. No, go ahead.
We're getting a long list of things that people feel they are addicted to, which is really great that people are putting it up there, because we start to see we all have. I don't think I have ever met anyone who doesn't have something that they feel addicted to. They may not use that word. They may feel like they overuse something. But the reality is they're addicted to it. And they can come and go. But I copied over for Sally. So glad someone else felt this. I have always felt like a fool. And that's part of what happens. We don't ask for help. We try to do it all ourselves. And some things we can't do ourselves. You really have to learn that. And that's an ego piece, boy. You got to move away from it. Even as someone who works on healing issues and guides people, I have to go to people for some of the things that I do because I'm not able to work on myself. And I think that's part of Creator's way of keeping us out of extreme ego. Anyway, the feeling like a fool, you know, there's no reason in the world for that. I know we all do it. Being human, we also feel like we've failed if we don't stop something. Another Susan, one of the other ones, I assume one of the four, yeah, there's still three on the message board, says, can I never smoke again when I do stop, and how do I do that? And Jack was saying, I've tried to stop smoking 8 times now, and every time I begin again, what can you do if you're too weak to stop some addiction? You see, all these things, friends, are mindsets. And I find unfortunately, all too often that some doctors and others, weight loss programs, they're great for this. They tell us we can't do it, or they tell us how we have to do it, and it has to be their way. And that's a prescription for failure. I know for myself, on my food addiction part, it's not about not eating certain foods. Now, different than Sue, if there's a chocolate candy bar there, I would eat the whole thing, not one piece. You know, chocolate bars are not meant to be left and taken a little bit each day. They're meant to be eaten. Two of them, then you eat the second one as well. Why leave leftovers to get more?
It sounds like you're doing a favor. Yeah. It sounds like you're doing a favor to that chocolate cake.
Yep. This is a real issue with a lot of addictions, certainly with food, and this applies to a lot of the other ones as well.
Yeah.
It's not as much the addictive personality or even your body, because our body can be addicted to things. For example, many of my Native American friends, and we've talked about this often in our circles, really, their bodies cannot handle alcohol at all. And I don't know what that is, if that's a DNA piece or what it is. So our bodies can absolutely react to things. I'm gluten intolerant at an extreme level, and I can get deadly ill with any kind of gluten at all. However, this is a spirit thing. The addictions are a symptom, folks. They're a symptom of us being out of balance in some way. They are not the cause. And so we do have to get to the cause. If you want to learn to eat a certain way, then you need to get to the cause, find out what's going on, and shift so you begin to eat in a different way. Mm-hmm. And as whoever asked, was it the other Susan, can I never have smoke again once I stop smoking? Quite probably the answer is yes. If your body really gets addicted physically to smoking, then you don't want to smoke again. If your alcohol is your addiction and your body craves it, then once you're off it, you don't want to drink again. We're not always able to do that. And if we backslide, so be it. Then we start over. Where was I going with that? There was another piece to this. Oh, yeah. But don't give up and say you've failed. Sometimes it's also a matter of timing. Sometimes one of our addictions is back because we really have to pay attention to something. So I have actually guided others because I was guided once and it's twice and it's correct. For some reason, it might not be time to stop a certain addiction. You may have to play through what else is there, which allows you to get to the causes, and then be able to work on the addiction. The things that don't work very well are things like, again, using the food example, going on all these diets. Diets don't work. Changes in behavior work. So you can go on these expensive things to stop smoking, stop eating, stop drinking, and almost always, if you get off them or if you vary it at all, you go back to the problem. Because all they've done is shift a little bit what's going into your body. They haven't changed anything about what caused it to begin with. So That's a lot of stuff. But I'll just say, as I put the stick in the middle, Roger says, chocolate is actually very good for burning stomach fat. A little guilt reliever there, ladies. Is he including me with the ladies?
I think that's the best news I've heard all day.
Yeah, well, that's right, yeah. But I think he means one piece, not 12 candy bars. But I'm not sure. Looks like, and he's not a really big guy, so stick in the middle.
Oh, my God.
You know,
go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, and I'm going to throw this in there, this past year, and the year before, after the flood, I was addicted to my pain of everything that happened over the course of that year and a half. The flood that happened, and then I lost my mother in the spring, and then I almost lost my dad. And it was just one thing on top of another that just kept me in this horrible place, and I just could not get out of it. And it took, just one morning, I just went out and I was doing my prayers, saying my prayers, and I was just, it was so heartfelt that I just could not, I couldn't do this anymore. I just can't. I need to let everything go. I need to let the past be the past and be behind me and to move forward. It was such a powerful feeling, and I could actually feel this tremendous weight coming off my shoulders. And once you re- really set your mind. Once your mind and your heart comes together and truly, truly wants to let go of, you know, any addiction, whatever it is, then you can begin to heal. And it's really a heartfelt connection, you know, and it's hard to explain unless you've been there and felt it yourself. Stick in the middle.
Yep, I totally agree. I see that Dale wrote pure chocolate, 70% or more, is good for migraines. Yeah, I heard that too, and I heard that it is also good to people that just love chocolate. I'm just kidding. But I'm seeing a lot of good comments here, and they, most of them talk about alcohol, smoking, and eating disorders. When I say disorders, I mean addictions and obsessions. And if you would think about that, you know, first of all, alcohol and mostly smoking and food, they are very related. The thing with the smoking, by the way, part of the addiction is just the, you know, the two fingers that hold the cigarette that you put in your mouth. That motion, that movement is very addictive, by the way, for those who haven't known that before. It's very addictive. It's kind of like 40% of your addiction, those who smoked before or still smoking right now. And yes, now we'll talk about sex addiction too. I hope we don't have kids around here, but that's all right. I don't take responsibility if you have kids all around. I'm just kidding. But the thing is, when it comes to addictions, especially with food, especially with smoking, and any kind of addiction, basically any kind of addiction, they're almost always, not all the time, but almost always related to a trauma that you have experienced in your childhood or maybe in a different lifetime. There is some kind of trauma inside that kind of like triggers a process inside our brain that can cause addiction. So we have to, when we work on addictions, especially for those who smoke out there, make sure that if you really want to work on the cause and not just put a Band-Aid on a really large wound inside yourself, make sure that you go deeper. Don't be afraid to go deeper. It's scary, I know, but don't be afraid to go deeper and look for that trauma. Or again, it's not all the time, but there are a lot of times that it is caused by childhood trauma or different lifetime trauma. Make sure that you go deeper. Make sure that you access this memory. And it's a little bit difficult with those who smoke unless you have a great sense of smell. But if you want to remember, it's not very much like hypnosis, but there is a side of it that is related to hypnosis sometimes. Make sure that you use your senses, especially the sense of smell. The sense of smell helps us more than any kind of sense, by the way, to remember those traumas, to remember childhood memories. The brain remembers much more than we know, and there is this disconnection between the brain and a deeper emotional part that what happens, that smell, you know, when we smell something familiar, there is this line of connection that we can, you know, that we can connect and we create a bridge. And that what happens with, especially with smelling. But when it comes to diet, like Jim said, it's not like, okay, go ahead and do some diet and lose some weight and, you know, be healthy. It's very easy to say, but it's not like that. It's not really like that. The thing is, the diet needs to come from all over: body, mind, spirit, emotion, sexuality, dreams. All the aspects of life need to be in one harmony to make sure that this diet will be part of your lifestyle and won't be something extraordinary, something very ordinary, something very in the everyday flow. Talking sick and middle.
Yeah, while we're talking about food, there's some interesting things being put up. This is a new list, or at least someone who has not commented before. Sid Antidepressium Spliff. Hope I got that right, Sid. Some really interesting question here. It's a whole different approach. It says, hi, I'm listening to this. He's over on message line. My question is meat eating and spirituality. If anyone could say something, God bless, because I just quit. Boy, you know, this might be another whole show. What we eat, how we eat it, what we're provided to eat these days really does cause a lot of addictive behavior now, much more than ever before. I did a lot of research on this when I was working on my own addictions and then working with others who were addicted to various things. The foods that we are getting have been so tampered with that they can really affect our bodies. The easy one to point to, of course, is gluten. Gluten is in all wheat products. It's in so many products. If you go to the market, turn over boxes and start looking at it and see how many different things they put wheat into. There's a lot of theories for why they do this, but that can really foul your body up and make you crave other things you normally would not crave. Meat is another really good one, Sid. You're absolutely right. All of our meat products are, well, certainly those that are not organic, they are shot up with so many chemicals. And it's funny, we were watching a little piece on McDonald's last night and how much antibiotics are shot into the chickens. I believe it was 8 billion pounds of chicken they use each year.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, 8 billion pounds. Think about that, folks. The number of antibiotics that are shot into them, but also into all cattle of any sort raised for meat. They're absolutely just full of chemicals. Even the organic beef, chicken, of course it's better, but it's not great by any means, because they're still eating the same thing, and we've just completely polluted our environment. This is going to take generations to work on. All those things absolutely can cause all kinds of addiction problems. They're cause problems with your sinuses. I'm dealing with that now. This is something I've had my whole life. They can affect your gut and just make you crave things that really are not in your best interest. So as we go along with these shows, Sid, if you listen anymore or if you come back on or if we have follow-up shows to this, let us know what's happening after you stop eating the meat. I eat very, very little. Actually, Sue and I, over the last few years, have constantly cut down on our meat. We still do eat some, but not much. And I really hope the day comes when I can totally step off meat, because I don't want or need all that garbage they put into meat. You know, if you look at a list, too, of some of the worst things you can eat for your body, the ones that cause the most cancer, the ones that cause the most physical addictions, it's a very interesting list. Some things on it you might not expect, like salmon, farm-raised salmon specifically, and that's for any farm-raised fish, actually. If you get the wild-caught fish, that's great. If you eat farm-raised fish, again, they fill it up with all kinds of medicines, antibiotics, and toxins that the wild fish do not have. One of the worst things you can eat, by the way, I hope this doesn't distress anyone, especially those who have chocolate as an addiction, because here's another one. microwave popcorn is the worst thing you can eat out on the market. Microwave popcorn is basically all chemicals. So, yes, Sid, changing what you eat in meat, absolutely. And Sid says, he just put up, he was vegetarian for like 5 years, but he ate chicken. So you weren't pure vegetarian, but you did eat, I guess, less of beef and pork and the other things. Beef seems to be the worst. And I know for many years, people I've worked with, many of them complain about reactions to beef. I also, if I eat beef, it tends to travel through me in a very fast and direct way. Beef is really loaded with so many chemicals you can't begin to count. And we tend to look the other way on these things because we kind of throw our hands up and say, what the hell can we do? Well, we're starting to do it. We are in the new time now. These are the things we need to change. They won't happen quickly. They may not happen for us. What we can do now, those of us who are alive and walking, is do the best we can. Try to grow your own food. It's still going to be planted in our soil, which is polluted, but it'll be much better. Don't eat things. Don't eat too much meat. I mean, that's one given, really. Just try to cut back on meat as much as you can. I know when trying to quit, alcohol, I've been told by various elders, when someone's trying to stop alcohol, have them stop eating meat while they're trying to quit the alcohol. They don't know what the connection is, but they've found over long periods of time, this being elders, not the scientific community, that the two are linked. And if you're trying to quit, if you get off meat, it's much easier to quit the alcohol. So there's a tip from the old ones. Stick in the middle.
You can be also addicted to carbs. And there is so much on the market, and I noticed this with my grandchildren, because their diet is not one that I would want if they were with me. And I notice you start craving. It behaves in your system, and you're hungry when you're not. Really, so it does something to the whole your body, and you just need more to fill that void that's caused by the carbohydrates. Stick in the middle.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. Now asked about sex addictions. And although we have like 2 minutes before we will start to end the show, but I think we'll dedicate some of those last minutes to talk about this part. And of course, you're all welcome to share back and forth with us on Facebook. Sex addictions. And this is a very difficult one. And because a lot of people are not even aware that they are sex that basically they have sex addictions. I think it's very easy, sex is something that we enjoy, makes us feel good, it makes us feel powerful. But it is also a mask, unfortunately, to a lot of other stuff. This sex thing, the sex addiction, is that if you would imagine a person that feels that every urge, any kind of behavior, any thought, they are obsessed, they are focused just on sex. It's like seeing sex in everything that you do in life, and that's how the everyday life get very out of balance. This is not a new thing, of course. It's it can be, I think a lot of people know a little bit about sex addictions, but most of the people that are addicted to sex are not even aware of it because they think it's something that